tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hey, 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 it's your girl, Carla Renata, at the Curvy Critic, Black Hollywood Live. This is the 100th episode, woo! Y'all. 100 episodes, and my girl, Jasmine Simpkins, is here joining me from Hip Hollywood. Strange
to you. 100 episodes, girl. That's like syndication on television. You made it, honey.
I cannot believe.
I know. This is fabulous. I'm so happy.
Like, I'm so humbled and grateful and overwhelmed, and I'm really excited that you came to do this with me today. I was trying to get some, you know, snacks and stuff, but we had to do that another time.
Yeah, we'll have cocktails afterwards. Yes. You know, we're good for a cocktail and a kiki. Oh,
you know we are.
But something in my spirit, I didn't even know it was your 100th episode, and remember, I just called you the other night.
You didn't know that when you called me.
I didn't know, and I was just like, let me call my girl Carla. I was like, let's do something on Sunday, because we both realized we didn't have tickets to the Oscars, you know, but that's it's
we're
all
not
good.
Bitter. Yes, we are.
Yeah. Sorry, not sorry. We don't like you Oscars today, whatever.
We are not happy with the Academy, but whatever.
Whatever. We'll take an apology space on the carpet next year.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag that part.
Yes. But I said, girl, let's do something. And then you said, it's my 100th episode. And I was like, look at God.
Yes. I mean, I remember when I came to Dario and Kevin Undergaro, and I was like, listen, you know, I'm a film critic. I don't see anybody like me doing this. Can we try this? And they were like, yeah, okay. And 100 episodes later, here we are. And I started out with Scott Menzel doing it, and then he abandoned me.
You had to go solo like Beyonce.
He abandoned me. He went solo someplace else. And so then I was left here solo, but I'm grateful for that because it helped me conquer a fear of mine of doing this kind of thing by myself. Like, I can be on the red carpet all day long running my mouth because I'm surrounded by people.
Yeah.
But this is a very different thing to be in a studio, you know, talking on a microphone and going, oh, hey, how y'all doing? Like, it's a different
Well, you've been doing
animal.
A great job. People have been tuning in for, they obviously have. 99 Yay. Plus 100 episodes today, so.
Yes, and my boy, yes. Michael B., one of my standbys, he is in that chat room. I love you, dog.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah, yeah. You're always there. I love that. So let me just talk about how my week went, and then I'm going to ask you about how your week went.
Okay,
but,
let's do it.
This is the thing. I went to the Independent Spirit Awards last night.
Yes, you did.
And I had never been. Had you been before?
I've only covered the carpet, so I've never been inside.
Okay. So they gave me the choice to not cover the carpet. Well, they said I could cover the carpet if I wanted to. And in my gut, I was like, I just feel like that's going to be like an Oscar carpet. I felt like it was going to be long. It's going to be packed. And I just didn't feel like fighting people in heels.
Right, right.
So I was like, nah, I'll pass. But I would love to be in the press room. And they had like this little tent press room. It was real cute and very comfy.
Yeah.
People were sitting on the floor. The Independent Spirit Awards is very chillax. Like, nobody is taking anything serious.
That is what I noticed in the two times that I've covered that the carpet, it's not a lot of hoopla. Stars do like to stop and talk.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a different energy, I think, with that particular award show over some of the other ones.
Yeah, they just don't care. They're like, award season is over as of tomorrow, and, you know, it's going to be whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay. But it was very chillax. Like, you literally could have just ran around that room and talked to anybody that you wanted to, and you know that I did. And just had a good time.
I saw the photos. You had a good time.
Yeah, I saw my friend. Well, I rode over there with my friend Yvette Nicole Brown. We rode over together, and then because she had someplace else to go. So I'm like, well, I'll ride with you, and then I'll take an Uber home. And so I rode with her, and then once we got inside, I saw Octavia, but I didn't even see her at first. Like, I saw her standing next to somebody else that I was trying to get to, and she was like, hello. I was like, oh, girl, I didn't even see you. It was pure comedy. But, yeah, I saw Chinoya Achebe, the director and writer of Clemency, which was a film that I had been championing here.
You and I both.
That got no love, and I was really upset about that.
Yeah, I was upset about that, too.
I saw Julius Ona, who was the writer and director of Loose, another film that I was championing.
Mm-hmm.
It was Spike Lee was in the house.
Yeah.
His wife Tanya was in the house. J-Lo was in the house. Like, anybody and everybody was there. Robert De Niro was there. It was cool. It was cool.
Yeah.
But what I love most about it is that the big winners were people that hadn't won anything all season long.
Yeah.
So the big winners were Lulu Wang for The Farewell for Best Feature. Mm-hmm. And she was like, she spoke to women directors and how, you know, people say what they say about female directors. And she was like, look, just give us the effing job.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
just give us the job and we'll work it out. And then the... and the two other best moments of the night were when the Softy brothers won for Uncut Gems, and they talked over each
That's
other.
That's a film I've been talking about, too, that I think was so good this year.
Me, too.
The latter part of the year, but it got no love.
It got no love. And Adam Sandler didn't get any love, either. And they were talking over each other in their acceptance speech. And then, of course, Adam Sandler won Best Lead Actor of the Night. He got a standing ovation. And he was up there doing his shtick, you know, talking in voices and everything. But the funniest thing he said that made me laugh out loud is when he said, I just want to, you know, shout out my fellow nominees, because from this point on, you are going to forever be known as that dude that lost to Adam Sandler. When you wake up in the morning, you can be like, damn, I lost to Adam Sandler? I hollered. And then Renee Zellweger won for Judy.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is probably, you know, a given that she's probably going to win for... Judy again tonight at the Oscars while they're going on. But we already have a winner. So as the show is going on, we'll tell you guys about the winners that we have.
Yes, yes.
And thus far, Best Supporting Actor went to Brad Pitt. No surprise there. And congratulations, Brad, because, you know, this is his seventh nomination.
It's been his seventh nomination, and he's been kind of the darling this award season, you know?
You know,
it's kind of the resurgence, too, of Brad Pitt, the actor. We hadn't seen him in any roles like this, you know, that were nominated and worthy of sorts, some would say.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy for him, and he seems happy. Every time he wins, he seems like he's really happy.
He looks like he is having the time of his life, and I am so not mad at him. I think this was the perfect time in his life for this to happen. Mm-hmm. I think had it happened earlier in his career, he may not have appreciated what it is and what was happening to him the way that he does now, but, you know... He's holding it down. It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. He's definitely a really nice guy, actually. I ran into him in the hallway.
Oh, no.
At the Golden Globes. We were backstage in the press room, and it was right after he won, and he was making his way. I had gone to the bathroom.
Girl, he
was
making his way. As we say?
Girl, and he's taller than I thought. But I was coming out of the bathroom trying to hurry up to get back into the press room, and he was coming on through, and he just kind of looked over at the same time that I was coming out, and he was like, hi, and I was like, hi, congrats. And another girl that was coming out behind me swooped right behind me and was like, can I get a selfie? I was like, girl, I was trying to have my moment real quick.
You just messed up my moment, but that's okay. That's all right.
She had her selfie, though.
Well, and then I have to shout him out because he's a Missouri boy. Like, I'm not a Missouri boy, but I'm from Missouri. So
he's a fellow Missourian.
So, and he's from that country part of Missouri, too. So I'm like close to the Ozarks. So I'm like, all right, Brad Pitt, you do you, boo. Do you. Somebody says, should there be an alternative venue for folks to see the films you recommend? I don't know what you mean, Michael B., by alternative venue, but a lot of people have screening parties. A lot of people will go to art house theaters to see some of these films that I talk about, especially the ones that I see in the film festivals.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but yeah, I can tell me what film specifically you're talking about, and I can tell you where to go see it.
Really exciting, and we both caught this before the show start, was seeing Billy Porter and Janelle Monáe
on the stage
opening up the show. I know there's been so much talk about the lack of diversity in the nominees this year, but I think the Oscars, this was their way, sort of, kind of, trying to make it feel inclusive, at least with where the show was concerned. And so having those two and talk about representation, you know.
Wait, hold that. Hold the horses. Hold the phone, and we're going to talk about this. But one of my favorite, my face is hurting from smiling. One of my favorite short documentary films that I have talked about here till I was blue in the face, Hair Love, just won the Oscar.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh. Yes,
Matthew Cherry. Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's so amazing.
So like I said, we'll talk, but when I get some results, I'll let y'all know. Side note, sidebar. I told Matthew Cherry that I was good luck for him because I interviewed Peter Ramsey a lot during the Oscar season with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and he won the Oscar.
Yeah.
So when I found out that Peter Ramsey was also teaming up with Sony to help Matthew Cherry promote Hair Love. I'm like, you know I'm your good luck charm, right? You know you're going to win the Oscar because you're talking to me, right?
Right.
I'm just saying, do you believe me now? I know that you do.
I love that. I was really excited when I saw that he was nominated because I just love the story. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy that those in the Academy saw that this story was worthy mm-hmm. of a nomination and mm-hmm. understood the importance of it, especially when it comes to our culture and mm-hmm. young Black girls and the story of this father and this young girl. I just thought it was such a sweet, touching story. So I'm so, so, so happy for him.
And I was just saying to our producer, Josh, before we went on the air, this is a story. See, a lot of people were making the mistake of talking about Hair Love like it was only a African-American story. No, this is a story for any dad.
Yeah.
Any dad who has had that challenge of trying to comb his daughter's hair without the assistance of a mom or another woman around. That's what this film is about. It's not specific to color. It's specific to dads. And dads don't get no love. Like, the only time dads get any love is, like, Father's Day. Yeah. And we be half-stepping with that. So, yes, I'm so glad Matthew Cherry got some love. While we on that subject, I want to just talk about this real quick. So I brought this Hollywood Reporter in with me today because they have this big article about, and the title reads, Hollywood's Black Hair Problem, We've All Cried Tears in Our Trailers. So I was saying that a while ago, Yvette Nicole Brown put a thread on...
She did.
On Twitter.
She did. Where
I don't even know how it started, but she... And Yvette Nicole Brown has been here before, you guys. We're friends. We've talked about this. But she was here, and they were talking about... how when you go on a set, how there aren't people on set ready to to be able to handle black hair, because our hair comes in all different types of textures.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have like really crazy curly hair. If you put the wrong kind of heating instrument on my hair, it'll burn my hair right up out of my head. So a lot of times I will wear a wig because if they mess up the wig, I can buy another one. Right. But if they burn the hair out of my head, that's going to, if it grows back at all, that's an issue.
Yeah, yeah.
So she had this thread, and then I think, who was it? Patricia Arquette jumped in the thread and was like, well, what do we have to do to make this happen? I was like,
Right.
Like, well, okay, Patricia Arquette.
I love Patricia. She's always ready for the movement.
Look.
Yeah.
She jumped up in that thread. She was like, so how can we make this happen? I'm like, well, okay, all right, girlfriend.
Yeah.
All right. But there's this huge article. It's in the February 5th edition of the Hollywood Reporter, and it talks about Gabrielle Union's situation where, it is believed or alleged that she was fired from America's Got Talent because her hairstyles were considered too ethnic. You know, I've been on sets where when I had dreadlocks down my back, and I would show up into a hair and makeup trailer, and they would go, how do you style your hair? What do you do? And then I would literally sit in the chair and style my hair, and they go, okay, that looks good. That's great. Thank you.
Right. Yeah.
So I basically, you're getting paid to do what I just did for you. And the same thing goes for makeup. Like, I've had people put makeup on me that's 10 shades lighter than what I am. And then I go on camera looking like a raisinette. Yeah. I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't understand.
Yeah, the makeup issues are still problematic.
It's real.
Especially. And also, too, because now we have so many great products created by women of color. So
yes.
You've got Fenty.
Yes.
You've got
It's not a fashion fair world anymore.
Yeah, so you've also got products created by black women that can be brought into the makeup rooms that I really do think those conversations don't need to be had so that we aren't the ones that get the short end of the sticks. Because even as of recently, when I've been on, gone into certain, news organizations as a contributor and they have
Does
a makeup.
Does that happen to you too?
Oh gosh. I had a lady almost take a whole mole off my face and she didn't realize it was a beauty mark.
Oh,
she thought
no.
She had gotten blue from attaching an eyelash. So yeah, I've had some traumatic times in a makeup chair and also have looked at myself and been like, who is this casket ready lady? Because I was just so ashy.
And that's a whole nother problem. But I did want to bring that up. But what I also want to bring up about, since we were on the subject of hair love, but what I also want to bring up is that in this article, at the bottom of the article, they have 5 salons in LA that they're recommending that people of color go to.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the name of the salons, let me shout them out. One is called, one place is called Dr. Carrie Williams.
Yeah.
It's 151 South Doheny Drive in Beverly Hills. She specializes in braids, twists, locks, cornrows without chemicals. Her clients have included Tessa Thompson, Also in Beverly Hills is Emmy-winning stylist Kaya Wright.
Yeah, it's my friend. Shout out Kaya Wright.
Kaya Wright. Her place is called Muse, M-U-Z-E Suites, 8383 Wilshire Boulevard. Ava DuVernay and Angela Bassett are fans of Mid-City's I Love Lulu Hair Spa
yeah.
at 733 South La Brea. They do scalp health, things like that. Studio City's Capella Salon at 12930 Ventura Boulevard, and stylist Lee, whose clients have included Laverne Cox and Tyra Banks. Now, I know I was talking really fast, and I might be hard to catch it, but if y'all go and grab the February 5th issue of the Hollywood Reporter, all of that information is in there, but I just wanted to make y'all aware of it, because that's something that folk need to know.
They do. But you know, black women, we don't have a hard time figuring out where to get our hair done.
Oh,
I
no.
mean, because I could be at a Target, I could be at the doctor's office, mm-hmm. and if somebody has a cute hairstyle, braids, I don't mm-hmm. care what, I'm like, girl, who did your hair?
Right. Who did your
I leave,
hair?
I'm going to get the phone number.
Get the number, yep.
And my recommendation.
We will work it out in a heartbeat.
We will work it out in a heartbeat.
We will work it out in a heartbeat.
But thank you, Hollywood Reporter, for that.
Michael B. in the chat room says... Michael B. in the chat room says, should black actresses request their own stylist when they get hired? See, now this is the problem, too. When you're a black actress on a show, if you're not the star of the show, they don't have the budget for you to be hiring
yeah.
somebody else to come in to do your hair. And they won't do it. So if you do it, you're doing it at your own peril and at the risk that you might get fired. So unless you're a series regular and you have something like that put in your contract, it's just a problem. But it's an ongoing problem, and it's a union problem.
Yeah.
Because basically the hair and makeup union, which I think is under IIC too. Aren't they under IIC too?
Yeah, I think so.
It's a certain number union under IIC. They just need to get it together, because if the shoe was reversed, that black person that's in the hair and makeup trailer wouldn't be there. And
yeah.
I can name five on one hand in the 25 years I've been doing this. Five.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
Whole nother situation. All right. So let's talk about the photograph. So the photograph is this film that is written and directed by Stella McGee for Universal Pictures. It stars Issa Rae and Lakeith Stanfield. And this is, I think, this isn't like a romantic lead first thing for
Lakeith.
Lakeith it is, right?
No, not for Lakeith. Lakeith actually starred in a really cute Netflix film, and I'm forgetting the name, but it was Gina Rodriguez, DeWanda Wise. Mm. Yes. You remember that movie?
I remember that movie.
Yes.
I forget the name of it. Yeah, I do remember that
and
movie.
That was a romantic comedy. And he was the lead. I mean, he played Gina's love interest
That's
in that film.
Right.
Yeah. So he's done romantic film, or at least played something similar to this.
Yeah.
Not to mention, he's just a brilliant actor. I've been a fan of Lakeith for a very long time, so I knew he could pull this off.
You are not alone in that.
Yeah.
I'm just like, he is just... To me, there's just nothing that he can't do.
Yeah.
There's nothing that he can't do. He's a brilliant actor. But this film, for the two of them,
yeah.
is just...
Amazing.
You know what it's like? It's like... It reminds me of Love Jones. Like, it has that Love Jones vibe.
It does.
If you've seen Love Jones was like... this really cool, funny, fresh film back in the day. Had Nia Long in it. Bill Bellamy was in it. Lorenz Tate. Lisa Nicole Carson. What's my boy from Grey's Anatomy? Isaiah Washington.
Oh, yes, yes.
Like, the cast was insane, but at the time that they made this movie, all of them were unknowns. At the time
yeah.
that they, like, I think of the ones that were in the movie, I think maybe Nia Long.
Yeah, because she had done Boys in the Hood. And
Lorenz Tate.
Yeah, had done some.
Menace to Society.
Yeah,
they had done a little bit where
yeah.
you were like, okay. But it had this Love Jones vibe. It was funny. Her character is extremely complicated.
Yeah.
And it shows how, and what I really loved about it is that it showed how for once on film, it's not the guy kicking the girl to the curb. It was the other way around. And it was because she was having some issues.
Yeah, yeah. I've been a fan of Stella McGee's storytelling since Gina the Joneses, which was a film she did that debuted at the Toronto Film Festival in 2016. I interviewed her then. It starred mm-hmm. Really quickly Sherry Shepherd mm-hmm. and... Taylor Page.
I love Taylor.
Yeah.
Taylor's in Zola.
Yes. So, really great film. She went on from there to do another film called Everything Everything, which had Amanda Lee Steinberg and mm-hmm. And Anika Noni Rose.
Okay.
Which was this very sweet story about a mother and a daughter and the relationship that they had centering around an illness, but it was such a sweet story. So I knew when I saw her name attached to this film that it was going to be well written, mm-hmm. that it was going to be well directed. She loves to take music music and infuse it into her work in such a sweet way. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why this is also reminiscent mm-hmm. of Love Jones, because there's this bluesy, jazzy element to the film, obviously, because it's the flashbacks take you to the 80s, which was such a cool time.
Yeah, for music, yeah.
For music, a lot of Chaka Khan, a lot of Stevie. And so when I went down to look at my phone, I wanted to shout out this actress, though, because in the flashback scenes, the two actors who play Issa's mother and another man in mm-hmm. the film, we won't give too much away. Mm-hmm. So Elon Noel mm-hmm. and Shantae Adams, I wanted to mention their names because they are so brilliant.
Yes, and Shantae Adams, y'all will remember from Roxanne exactly. on Netflix. She played... She played Roxanne Shantae. Yeah,
they definitely, I would say this is, the film definitely has half and half. You're going to get a lot of them as their storyline, and then a lot of Issa and Lakeith, but I don't want them to be forgotten because Shantae is brilliant. She's excellent
in the flashbacks.
Yeah,
and she's really
so great.
She's a really well-rounded, gifted actress. I enjoyed her so much in this film.
Yeah, and the supporting cast really quickly too. I loved Little Rail and Tiana Parrish. I loved them. Their dynamic was really cute. Jasmine Cephas, who plays Issa's coworker, mm-hmm. Kelvin Harrison. Mm-hmm. I just think she really plays
Lakeith's coworker.
He plays Lakeith's coworkers, Cordy B. Vance. I think, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. She said it was great casting. I thought
it was great casting. It was great storytelling. It was great writing. It was great directing. It's just a really well done, well crafted film. And I need y'all to get out and support it on Valentine's Day when it's released. Get out and support it. It's released by Universal Pictures. Please, please, please.
Straight up good love story. No Black Lives Matter subplot.
None of that.
No extra agenda. No politics.
Straight up love story.
Straight up love story.
Straight up love story. Yeah. And there's like a whole rain situation. Well, y'all know. y'all will see it. It's great. It was really wonderful. The next film I want to talk about. You didn't happen to see Downhill, did you?
I did not see Downhill, so I want you to tell me about it.
So let me tell you about Downhill. So Downhill is starring Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
And so naturally you would assume that you have these two powerhouse comedy people and you see the trailer, you think, oh, this is probably like some goofy, corny mm-hmm. Will Ferrell comedy. Yeah, not so. It is a film that is a Searchlight Pictures. It's hard to say because I'm used to saying Fox Searchlight.
Right, right.
It's a Searchlight Pictures film. It is directed by Nate Faxon and Jim Rash, who are oftentimes associated with comedy as well.
Yeah.
But this is the title Downhill is a double entendre, because what's happening in this film is that they go on vacation. There ends up being an avalanche. And instead of Will Ferrell's character staying to protect his family, he runs.
Mm.
And that starts
the film.
All hell
break loose.
That starts the film. And so the kids are feeling some kind of way about the fact that their father left them to die. Mm-hmm. The wife is feeling some kind of way about it. And so this is a story about a marriage that is going downhill, literally.
Wow.
Just like going down the slopes.
Wow.
And you wouldn't expect that.
I feel
that
stories
title.
About marriage are doing really well right now.
Because everybody can relate to that.
Everyone, well, there are. There's a, I didn't see, I've never been married, never been divorced, but obviously I saw The Marriage Story mm-hmm. and I thought the dynamic of these two people and just falling out of love, uncoupling, what that feels like, what that looks like. Mm-hmm. I could relate to, obviously, people that I knew that were going through a divorce. Mm-hmm. One friend in particular really loved it. Shout out to Jamal Finkley. I know he won't mind that we're saying that he's divorced, but he loved it. But obviously, because he was going through a divorce, he just felt like it was so on point.
And this is the other thing, too. If you are a child of divorce, like if you are someone whose parents were divorced, then you can relate to it from that vantage point too, because they do have a child in the movie, and you get to see, you know, how his reaction is to that. He acts out,
right?
You know, which a lot of kids do. Because I'm a product of divorce, and I acted out.
Yeah,
when my mother and father got divorced, I was the worst child ever on the face of the planet.
Yeah.
I'm not even gonna act like I was good. I was not, and I regret that. I regret that I was that kid that was unknowingly impeding my mother or my father's happiness.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that I did that. But they turned out okay. Yeah. They're fine.
So when does this come out? When does Downhill come out?
Downhill comes out on Valentine's Day as well. Mm. And it's a Searchlight Pictures film, like I said, directed by Nate Faxon and Jim Rash, starring Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Will Ferrell. Now, I know we both saw Birds of Prey.
Yes, I'm rocking my Birds of Prey.
She is rocking her
paraphernalia.
Harley Quinn t-shirt and her necklace.
It says Bruce. I don't know if you guys can see that.
No, Charlie, I can't see it. It's behind the microphone. Okay, she's just, like, look, I'm going to get on the microphone so you can see.
It's like a dog bone, and it says Bruce. You kind of, I don't have to even tell you why, if you're a fan of this whole genre of DC Comics and know where Harley Quinn comes from, yep. then you'll totally understand.
Yep.
But her pet, the hyena, that's his name.
Oh my God.
Yes. And let's just talk about the fact
that she has a pet hyena. I saw that, and at first I was like, is that a wolf? Is that a coyote? And then I saw the spots. I'm like, oh, damn. This doll has a hyena for a pet. Hyena. I'm like, she's special.
She's special.
A special kind.
She really is. What I mean, at the heart of this film, it's a breakup movie. We're just talking about how the marriage yes. story and Downhill at the heart of it's about a marriage. This is about a breakup. This is about a girl and how she really transforms out of this breakup. And really the warrior she becomes, right?
Yeah.
You thought Harley Quinn was badass before, but what this breakup does for her mm-hmm. and to her is so hilarious and fabulous. You know, it's the emancipation of Harley Quinn.
It is. And yeah. so the full title is Birds of Prey, The Fantabulous Emancipation of the...
Of one Harley Quinn. Yes.
So let me just tell you, there is a scene, and this is not going to ruin anything for y'all, right? But there is this scene, the action scenes in this film are bananas. Like, Jurnee Smollett is freaking killing it.
She's so kick-ass, right?
Like, she's somewhere between, like, Jim Kelly and Into the Dragon and Uma Thurman in Kill Bill.
She is.
She is, and like a little bit of Pam Grier from the blaxploitation movies mixed
right,
in there.
Right, yeah. She you know is I mean? Giving you 70 sexy, right?
She is.
Yeah.
She's giving you all of that, but I kind of love her. And then we got Ian McGregor, who is just corny and silly, and he embodies everything about cartoon villains that you hate and love all at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
And he does such a great job with the balance of that. And then we have Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who is playing the Huntress.
Yes.
And this child is trying to be so badass, but she's having a hard time because she can't really, whenever she says her name, nobody takes her seriously.
Right, right.
And she gets like all upset about it. It's pure comedy. Love it so much. And then the little Asian girl that's in it, I can't remember her name.
I do have her name. Hold on, because she is so cute.
She's wonderful. She plays this diamond-eating pickpocket where the whole, and she plays Cassandra Cain, and the whole yes. story revolves around her.
Yeah.
But having said all of that, there is this scene where Margot Robbie is in roller skates. She's on these roller skates, and she does a backflip from front of this car onto the hood of the car and roller skates. I was there for all of that right there. I just like action sequences when it comes to comic book movies.
I do, too. So the young girl's name is Ella J. Basco.
Yes, that's it.
Chris Messina is also in it.
Yes.
He plays Ewan McGregor's sidekick of sorts. I love the film, too, because I thought that there was so much diversity in it. You have all these women. They're so different. And I think there's a good representation of what we as women look like, our girl squads and our crew. Sometimes we all don't look the same.
Nope.
We all aren't of the same age yep. demographic. And mm-hmm. I thought that the casting was so important and spot on
mm-hmm.
in the way in which they made sure that they touched on so many different
It was aspects. Different types of women.
Yeah, a lot of different types of women. I also just loved that the story seemed like it was trying to be relevant, you know, in this time period. Obviously, we know it's set in Gotham City, but it just seems so right now from the songs to, you know, the way in which the set was dressed. It just seems so... And they were pulling from right now
mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to take you into some type of created comic mm-hmm. book world.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously we have a female director in the film.
Kathy Yan.
Mm-hmm. In so many points of the film, you could just tell it was infused with so much femininity. You know, from them, you know, there's one funny part where she needs a hair scrunchie, which I think we've all been in that moment, or a hair tie. Because it's like, listen, yes. let me tie my hair up.
Yes.
And then I could get down to business. And I think that's so true.
To interrupt. I mean, I just wanted to say, in honor of 100 episodes. I just wanted to say.
Oh no!
Just congratulations on 100 episodes.
You thank you, Josh.
And just, aww. You know, thank you for allowing me to be producing a majority of your episodes.
Oh, so
I just
sweet.
Wish for 100 more and just.
Oh, why are you trying to make me cry my lashes off? That is not hot.
So sweet. Aww,
thank you, Josh. They love me here. I'm so excited. Aww,
so
thank
cute.
You.
Aww.
And a card and some chocolate.
It's some chocolate.
Well, I love chocolate for the chocolate.
Yes.
Hey. But anywho, back to business. We absolutely
back to business. Obviously, we love Birds of Prey. We think it was a fun, fabulous film.
Which is hilarious because the reviews from guys are like, and I take that back. It's not just from guys, but there's some girls, too, that are kind of hating on the Birds of Prey.
I've seen some of that. I'm not having that either.
I like Margot Robbie. I think she is one of the most underrated actresses in Hollywood. She can do anything. I mean, this girl was on roller skates this time, and Miss Thing was playing Tanya Harding in ice skates and was doing all that ice skating herself. Like, come on now. Y'all got to give Margot Robbie some props.
And she told me that she produced the movie. And
too.
She produced the movie, but she also said that most of the women in the film and everyone involved in the film, they had about 5 months of like stunt training. They got a chance to work out and really get themselves in shape for the film. She was recording Bombshell, so she didn't have that time. So she literally popped over into this film. She made about 2 or 3 weeks to get in shape, to come out of her character from Bombshell and to get into Harley Quinn.
Look,
and
that's bad.
And that's badass.
That's a bad doll right there. Round of applause
to Margot Robbie because she pulled it off.
Yes.
Miss One Margot Robbie, you did it, girl.
I cannot wait to watch this back to see what the look on my face was when Josh came up in here.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, is he going to tell me that we didn't record? I was about to be hot. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, Birds of Prey is already out. If you haven't gone to see it, don't listen to the critics, even though we are critics. But we're telling you to go see it.
Yes.
It's fabulous.
Warner Brothers Pictures is in theaters right now. All right, some updates on the Oscar situation. So, Toy Story 4 has won for Animated Feature. Parasite won for Original Screenplay. Bong Joon-ho.
Yay!
I can't wait to see what his translator has to say. I'm going to do a story on her. I cannot wait to see it because she's hilarious. She translates for him very well.
The speech that he did via her at the AFCO Awards was really great, actually.
Look,
yeah.
It's hilarious. Her name is Sharon.
Yeah.
Just so that y'all know. Jojo Rabbit won for Best Adapted Screenplay. So that's the update on the Oscar situation right now. Oh my gosh. And then
the show is moving right along.
I'm like, well, good. Well, you know, that's what happened when you don't have no host.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Right.
But
we did see they brought out Steve Martin and Chris Rock a little bit earlier.
Yeah, right before we started.
So I think they are going to try and infuse some folks from the past.
Some comedy. They did that last year too, and that seems to work best.
I think you know what?
At the end of the day, it saves ABC a grip of money. So
they said
that
host, no problem.
Okay. And so there's that. Hashtag that part.
That part.
Thank you, Brandon. Brandon told me that Toy Story and Hair Love won. I've already reported that, but thank you, Brandon. I love you much. So this week, it was an exciting week for a variety of reasons here in Los Angeles. If you live here, it was a lot of Oscar stuff going on. Me, myself, I co-hosted a annual Oscar party for Emily's List, which is an organization that empowers and encourages and supports women that are running for political office all over the country. So I co-hosted their brunch for them this week. I did the Spirit Awards. I did an Oscar talk that was a tribute to John Singleton for AFCA at Emerson College.
Very nice, yeah.
I was at KCRW with Madeline Brand.
You were getting it in, girl.
I know, girl. I was at KCRW with Madeline Brand doing press play. And I had my first byline show up in this week's issue, the one with Liza Minnelli on the cover, y'all. Liza Minnelli is on the cover. I have my first byline article in Variety. It is about production designer Nelson Coates, who is the production designer behind the looks for Crazy Rich Asians and In the Heights, which is coming to a theater in June of this year. So
you've had a fabulous week. Some people do all of that in a year, and you did it all in a week.
Girl,
so
I was broke down. But I say all of that to say that with all of those wonderful things going on, there were some not so lovely things that happened. Like we had to say goodbye to actor Robert Conrad, who people will know from his role on Wild Wild West on television. We had to say goodbye to Orson Bean, who unfortunately yesterday was struck by a car twice and was killed on the second hit as he was trying to cross the street to see his wife in a play.
Yeah.
So incredibly tragic. And in Venice, California, we said goodbye to Kirk Douglas, who turned 103. Kirk Douglas lived a long time
and did some fabulous work.
He did some fabulous work. I mean, he won the Oscar for Spartacus. The person that wrote the screenplay for Spartacus is named Trumbo. I can't remember his first name, but Trumbo is his last name. And he was the person that insisted that his name be put on the screenplay to end the blacklist in Hollywood. So people credit him with ending the blacklist in Hollywood, the communist, you know, Hollywood 21 thing that was happening. He didn't end it, but his actions helped kind of spearhead it a little bit. So, and he's also the father of Michael Douglas and Cameron Douglas. So we say goodbye to him. And then yesterday we say goodbye to somebody, I'm about to cry, somebody that I personally adored, because when I started in the industry, I started as a dancer. And one of the dancers that I looked up to immensely and so incredibly fiercely was this woman named Paula Kelly. Mm-hmm. And Paula Kelly was known for being a Fosse dancer. She was in Sweet Charity.
Yeah.
She did a couple of films for him. But she was known as a Fosse dancer. She did a lot of variety shows in the 70s with Sammy Davis Jr. and all those other people of color that were popular and on television quite a bit at the time, like Pearl Bailey, Louis Armstrong, all those people. But she was a fabulous dancer. So tall, so gorgeous, so just, her body was just insane. But we lost her at the age of 76 yesterday. So
interesting. I covered Black Women in Hollywood, Essence Black Women in Hollywood event on Thursday morning. And I decided to ask all the women on the carpet, because it was Black History Month, but also because we're celebrating Black women, if there was a woman in Black history that they would love to play. Mm-hmm. So I got great answers. Eva Marcille, that's on Real Housewives of Atlanta, told me she would love to play Vanessa Williams. Garcelle Bouvet said she wanted to play Diane Carroll.
Brescia
Webb said, honey, I'm about to get my vocals together, but I want to do Diana Ross. And then Loretta Devine said she wanted to play Paula Kelly. Aww. And she took a moment to educate, us. She was like, about I don't know if Paula you know Kelly. Who she was. Yeah. And so interestingly, because 48 hours later, I'm looking through my phone
and
timeline to see that she passed. So hopefully Miss Loretta Devine, who we know she can play any and everything and everybody, gets a chance to play her. I think that would be fabulous.
You know, Paula Kelly was no joke, and she paved the way. I'm so emotional. She paved the way for somebody like me to live their dreams out on Broadway. Like, I wouldn't have been able to be a little brown girl that wanted to be a dancer on Broadway had it not been for somebody like Paula Kelly and Nina Mae McKinney and all those other people that in between, Josephine Baker, all of those women paved the way for me to be able to do that. Just like, the Oprah Winfreys and the Robin Roberts and all those people are paving the way for us to do this.
Yeah.
So I would be remiss in not acknowledging and giving her life some light and some love here at the Curvy Critic.
So sweet.
What you got going on next week, girl?
Rest. I hope that I can sleep a little, but that's not happening. Next week, I will definitely be seeing some films. As a matter of fact, on Monday, I'm going to see a scary film. It is...
The Lodge?
No, it's the other one, Fantasy Island.
Oh, I saw the commercial for that. I'm like, yeah, I can't mess with that.
I don't normally like to do scary films, but I do like to do them, if that makes sense. Like, I have this love-hate relationship with thrillers, so I just need to be near someone so I can, put my head in their shirt. But I still like it. I still like watching them. So I'll see that on Monday and then cover The Junket on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And I believe there are some other films that I've got to catch during the course of the week.
Okay. Yeah. I'm catching Call of the Wild with Harrison Ford, rather.
Yes.
And they have yet another reboot of Emma.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's hella funny. It's hella funny. Hella funny. I love it so much. But I'll be talking about those two and catching some much needed Z's myself.
Yes, 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 yes.
And I think I was going to air an interview. See, my eyelashes trying to come off and attach to my hair. I got too much going on. I was going to try. I did an interview with Harry Lennox. He has something called H4, which is Henry the Fourth, that is streaming right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I interviewed him. I can't talk today. I interviewed Harry Lennox about Henry the Fourth, which is streaming right now. And I wanted to have that interview ready for today, but I knew that these other things were going to take up a lot of time.
Yes.
And they're in real time. So I wanted to discuss them, but I'll probably play, I will play the interview with Harry Lennox next week. So we'll have that where he's talking about Henry the Fourth. And we might have somebody else in studio. There's some director people that have said they want to come by, so we'll work that out.
That's great.
So Jess, thank you for joining
me, girl. Thank you for having me. Really, this is really fun, and I'm so happy I got to be here on this milestone of a day. This is great. This episode is so special, and I'm a part of it.
It is special. Now, and in honor of the Oscars and my 100th show, I wore my Tadashi Shoji dress.
You guys have to see.
I'll take a picture so that y'all can see it. But my Tadashi Shoji dress. It's was the dress fierce. I was supposed to dance the tango in with a commercial that I did with Kevin Spacey 5,000 years ago. But that's that. Where can everybody find you on social media, girl?
At Jazzakai, at JAZZAKAI. That's my handle for social media, all Twitter and Instagram. Facebook, it's just Jasmine Simpkins.
And y'all can find her on the red carpet repping Hip Hollywood, y'all.
Yes, and I also have been contributing over at KTLA. On their KTLA 5 Live, a digital show that comes on at 12 o'clock and 2 o'clock daily, but I will post on Twitter and Instagram the days that I'm on. So thank you for having me.
Oh, girl, my pleasure. And you guys can find me here every Sunday, whether I'm in the studio or not, at The Curvy Critic with Carla Renata at Black Hollywood Live, a little after the 5 o'clock hour. Right after this, normally, we would be doing the GH report for General Hospital, but my friend Frank has his kitty passed away today. Aww. So we're going to give him time to grieve his kitty, and we'll be back with y'all next week for that. You can catch me every Thursday on Superstore at NBC. Well, not every Thursday, but every once in a while you can catch me at Superstore. I recur over there. And check me out in Variety, y'all. I'm in Variety. And of course, anything that we talk about written wise in terms of reviews here, you can always go to thecurvyfilmcritic.com or on Rotten Tomatoes and catch my reviews there. So until the next time, love, peace, and hair grease. And I will catch y'all on the flip side. Peace.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro,
on behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.